thinking of the rapture in that blessed home on high. When redeemed again every day, how we'll sing that heavenly anthem in that city in the sky. When the redeemed are gathering in, now when the redeemed are gathering in, watch like snow at the cross in. Oh, how we will shout, how we'll sing, now when the redeemed are gathering in. We will sing redemption story with our voices loud and long. When the redeemed are gathering in, then the angels have to listen, for they cannot sing this song. When the redeemed are gathering in, now when the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from sin. Oh, how we're gonna shout and how we'll sing, now when the redeemed are gathering in. The Savior will give orders to prepare the banquet for when the redeemed are gathering in. And we'll hear his invitation, come ye blessed of the Lord, when the
First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Actually, I left off verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Okay, Dave, you got your finger on the 1 Corinthians 15?
Sure. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Amen, Dave. Okay, and the last is the blessed hope, which is the rapture. Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, we had a rough start tonight, folks, and let me look at the green. We're running solid green. All right. That's nice for me to look at. We've had a signal problem here. I was streaming, but with terrible signal, so I don't think you could pick it up at all. But here we are, Dave. We're streaming right now. And, of course, we're looking at what's taking place in Israel. That's what we do first, the first part of the show here. But, Dave, as I watch the news since President Trump was inaugurated, it's like a combination of Christmas, New Year's, 4th of July, and my birthday. There's so much good stuff. Everything we could dream of, he's doing. Everything.
Right.
It's incredible. And the stuff that's going on about Israel now is wonderful. So what did you pick up during the week, Dave?
Well, one of the most amazing things that President Trump did with these presidential declarations was saying there's two genders,
Oh,
male,
radical,
and female.
That's radical, Dave. Radical.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes a lot of sense. And for the, you know, Democrats and the very, I can say, delusional liberals, everything he did was like the apocalypse.
Yes.
It was the end of the world for them. And the Lord has had mercy on our country, which is, you know, a blessing, a big blessing. But I don't know exactly how many presidential things he signed. I think it was like, was it like 80 or something like that? And everything he was talking about, he immediately did, which is just amazing, John.
Yes.
And it's going to be a blessing for the people of Israel. And it's going to be a very sad day. It is a very sad day for the liberals who were expecting the direct opposite, you know? So, yeah, it's quite a blessing, John.
Yeah, yeah. So, Dave, I don't know where to begin. There's one funny thing that it's not directly touching Israel, but hang on, Dave, my glasses are, I should have cleaned them before the show. Now they're really bad. Let me see now. All right. Let me get this article here. Okay, here we go. No, I guess I didn't. Wow. All right. Well, anyways, I got the article over here. So let me just get the article up. What it is the Democrats in Congress are having such a hard time, Dave, that they have special. Now here I got it here now. Yeah, here it is. Okay, I'll bring it over so you can see it on the screen, folks. Here's the headline: Representative Jamie Raskin hires psychologists to help Democrats cope with Trump's return. Aims to help improve emotional regulation. Oh, Dave. Oh, my goodness. Oh. As Democrats are still reeling from their incredible defeat in 2024, presidential election, Congressman Jamie Raskin of Maryland has hired shrinks to help and set things straight. Oh, my. Hey, the shrinks need shrinks, Dave, because all those shrinks are big-time leftist liberals. Oh, my goodness. According to Punch Bowl News, Raskin hosted a retreat of Democrats on the House Judiciary Committee where they were hosted by Jim Cohen, a University of Virginia professor of psychology. Another speaker was Hal Movias, a consultant whose specializations include negotiation, influence, emotion regulation, leadership, and organizational development. Oh, my. The purpose of the session, according to multiple attendees, was to counsel Democrats about how to approach conflict and effectively combat what Raskin describes as authoritarian styles of speech. Yeah. Oh, my. They're not used to someone talking to them. Biden couldn't talk. Harris just mumbled word salad. Biden was incoherent. So Trump is coherent and he's forceful and they don't know what to do. Oh, my. Oh, they're social psychiatrists. And they were just talking about communications and authoritarian styles of speech in the Trump age. Oh, my. Okay, there we go. So the Democrats, Trump's not even in office a week, Dave. He's not even in office a week. And they have to take a retreat and bring psychologists there to try. Oh, Dave. Oh. Oh, what can I say? Any comment, Dave, about the Democrats retreating?
Yeah, they're going to probably have to open a very large mental institution and have a tons of psychiatrists to deal with this, John, because it is really a it's the psychological damage, because they were expecting their agenda, homosexual marriage, abortion, maybe trying to dictate to Israel what to do. It's all gone now. So their entire agenda that they were hoping for has now been flushed down the toilet. So it's very understandable that they're having, they've been psychologically damaged, John.
And Trump has been battle hardened. I mean, he spent how long in courts and having his home raided by the FBI? And what else have they done? Grand juries, indictments, and all sorts of going before the Supreme Court, being shot at, having another assassin laying in wait for him. So he doesn't need a psychologist. He's battle-hardened, Dave. This is too funny. I saw that just before the show and I was laughing. I mean, that. How weak can you be? It isn't even 7 days and they're running for psychiatrists to help them.
Well, it's very understandable, John. They've been emotionally damaged.
They've been traumatized?
Very, very traumatized, John. Yep.
All right. Okay, let's go over and see what we have here. Let's see what I've got here about Israel. Hang on. Okay, here we go. It starts off with Erdogan demands that Israel withdraw from Syria. And the article states, Turkey is in a dangerous Islamic supremacist state under its president, Erdogan, who has expansionary goals of a revived Ottoman Empire with him as the caliphate. Now, that's absolutely true. He has been salivating over Jerusalem, Dave, I don't know, 10, 15 years in the past. I mean, he thinks that Jerusalem belongs to Turkey, and he wants to revive the Ottoman Empire with Jerusalem as the capital. How's that, Dave?
Well, he has that specific goal, and in the past he's called for Netanyahu's assassination and, you know, called him all sorts of horrendous names.
And, oh, yeah.
Well, John, he's just following his theological premise that he wants to dominate Jerusalem.
Yes, exactly. And he has also been pumping, apparently, a lot of money into East Jerusalem to bring up strife and confrontations. So, yeah, he wants Jerusalem. Get in line. Get in line, Dave. Hamas wants Jerusalem. Hezbollah wants Jerusalem. Iran wants Jerusalem. I guess even the Houthis want Jerusalem, Dave. What do you think?
That's what it looks like, John, too.
Okay. So what happens is Israel basically told them to get lost. Turkish President Erdogan said on Wednesday that Israel must withdraw its forces from Syria or it will cause unfavorable outcomes for everyone. The aggressive actions of the forces attacking Syrian territory, Israel in particular, must come to an end as soon as possible, he said during a meeting in Ankara. Everyone should take their hands off Syria, and we, along with our Syrian brothers, will crush the heads of an Islamic State, the YPG, I don't know what that means, and other terrorist organizations in a short time. Well, the Islamic State he's talking about is Iran. So I don't think he's talking about him, you know, but definitely he's been talking about reviving the Ottoman Empire. And I've reported on this show where he has said that Jerusalem belonged to Turkey, the Ottoman Empire, for what, 500 years? 400 or 500 years. So it should be ours. You know, we've had it that long and we want it back. So it looks like their head's coming up on the chopping block now, Dave.
Well, it looks like, John, they're going to have a confrontation possibly with Israel, and it's not going to go very well for them.
No. All right. Hamas has been recruiting heavily, and they've recruited about, I don't know how they know this, but up to 15,000 new terrorists. So 15,000 new terrorists were born in Gaza, Dave. What do you think?
Yeah, I saw the videos. They're all dressed up in their green headscarves. They're trying to make it look like they won the,
exactly.
the war.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, Dave.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's the Muslim mind or the Arab mind. I don't know how to define it, but that mind there is different than ours. They lost about 20 to 25,000 fighters. Yeah, well, let me read the article here. Hamas has allegedly recruited between 10 and 15,000 new fighters since the war against Israel began. This recruitment drive is viewed as a strategy to compensate for the group's heavy losses despite the ongoing devastation in Gaza. The reported recruitment figures align closely with the estimated number of Hamas fighters killed. During the conflict, Israel's assignments suggested that approximately 20,000 Hamas operatives have been neutralized since hostilities began. So here's the way the mind thinks. What Israel just did, Hamas was on the ropes. It was dying. Israel had taken all of their leaders out. It had destroyed huge amounts of Hamas's weaponry. It's destroyed miles and miles and miles and miles of their underground tunnels. And they were basically not functioning. So to the, I don't know if it's Arab or Muslim mind, Israel didn't finish off Hamas. They had this truce to get their, Israel to get their hostages back. So that means Allah spared them. That means Israel didn't finish them off and completely destroy them. So they consider it a victory day. Literally. They consider what Israel is doing now has given them all the signs that Allah has spared them and that they're going to live to fight another day. Yeah, Dave.
Very, very sad, John. And the other thing, we spoke earlier, but we didn't speak about this. Things are getting really inflamed in Judea. The world calls it the West Bank. A lot of these people, these terrorists that are being let go with the hostage deal, are being sent to the West Bank. Some of them are being sent to Egypt, but a lot of them are being sent to the West Bank. And their goal is to, you know, you see them dressed up in the Hamas uniforms. So now Jerusalem and Judea will be a burdensome stone for a while. Judea, they call it the West Bank. Western nations call it the West Bank. It was quiet, but now it seems like it's getting very, very volatile, John.
Well, Dave, you're exactly right. They're releasing these terrorists that they've captured into what we call the West Bank, Judea and Samaria. Now, I'm sure I mentioned this last week, but this is the reality that the Israelis are the hard left in Israel are not living in. These here are like hardened terrorists. Trained terrorists that they're putting in the West Bank, Dave. It's like feeding the West Bank with this poisonous trees. What do you think, Dave, that these terrorists are going to do when they get in the West Bank? Are they going to be peaceful and tell everybody don't give up your guns and be nice to the Israelis? Of course not. So here's what's wrong. the people of Israel, now, of course, not all of them, but this here, there was a certain element of them. And I'll admit that they were really believers because they never gave up. They hate Netanyahu. They hate the right wing in Israel, the same as here. They hate us. The hard left here in America hate us. They got beat back severely. So they're demanding the hostages. They every time, they didn't miss one beat calling Netanyahu hateful, that they should be removed. He doesn't want the hostages to be set free. In the meantime, they're prosecuting a war against people that have a sworn covenant with their Allah to kill every Jew in Israel and take Jerusalem and all of that. Right, Dave?
That's their goal, John.
Right. So shouldn't they be condemning Hamas for not letting the hostages go? I mean, Netanyahu and the IDF are trying to defend Israel against the Amalekites. You know, the Amalekites from the Bible. That's what I call Hamas. They're the Amalekites. And then Hezbollah is involved in it. And Iran is firing hundreds of missiles at Israel. And they're after Netanyahu all the time, all the time, all the time. So what's going to happen now, Dave? They let hundreds go so far for what? Seven Israeli captives? They've let hundreds of mostly terrorists go. Right, Dave?
The ratio is actually 30 to 1 approximately. 30 Palestinians get let go for, I think, each Israeli hostage. Maybe
it's
more.
It's more than that. The initial one, but I think the second one was much larger. So now, what's going to happen? It's not a matter of if, it's when. These terrorists that they're taking out of prison and putting them in the West Bank, when the terrorism comes up, when they start the terrorism, the West Bank could end up like Gaza. And they've had like 500 or 800 Israeli soldiers killed in Gaza. So it shows you their insanity. They're blaming Netanyahu on not making a deal with Hamas, which is a terrorist group sworn to kill Israel. Don't trust Netanyahu at all. In my opinion, the vast majority of those protesting were simply using that as a way to get at Netanyahu and his government. I don't think it was bona fide at all. Some of it was. So now, the next round, they're going to have how many thousands of terrorists are going to be loose in the West Bank, Dave? This is mind-boggling. These people are mindless. So everybody wants the terrorists released. But the deal is so bad that Israel is like setting itself up now for a war in the West Bank like it did with Gaza, Dave.
Well, we shouldn't be surprised, John. Jerusalem and Judea will be a burdensome stone.
Yeah.
So this is a fulfillment of prophecy. And Zechariah knew exactly what he was talking about.
He certainly did, Dave. And that was 550 years ago, there. He called it as a prophet of God. So, look, Dave, Israel is going to run its course, and God is in the midst of this. But it's so sad to see this country, like, it's like careening down the road. They hate their own government, and Hamas gets a pass, and the bad guy in this is their own government, Dave, who's fighting a war against Gaza, Hezbollah, Syria, the Houthis, Iran. And so Israel's the bad guy. All right, any more comments, Ben?
Like you said, John, it's really insane. And in the past, the protests, 100, 150,000 flags waving.
Yeah.
And they don't even mention Hamas.
Right.
It's all... You know,
Israel.
They probably had another issue too, because they were concerned about Netanyahu's conservative approach the government, they wanted, you know, a very liberal agenda. So it's understandable what they were doing, but it's insane because Netanyahu's job is to protect Israel. That's right. His main job. And he's doing a very good job. So even to distract him for a moment is insane.
Yeah. So it's a tough question. You have these hostages, or a tough situation. You've got these hostages. Everybody understands that. But to get the hostages back, Dave, they might be releasing 5,000 like Hamas fighters into the West Bank. Because they have, 100 hostages? Don't they have?
They're 100? Not all alive, though. They're not all alive.
I guess we don't. All right. Let's say they have 50 alive, 75 alive, right? Yeah, Dave?
Something like that. Yeah, something like that.
All right. So multiply that times 50 to 1, because they're getting the more the hostages are released, the higher the number of the trade-off is. So let's say it's 5,000 fighters in the West Bank that live every day to kill Jews. So in the end, how many are going to die and be wounded for the release of those hostages? And I understand if it was my child, I want him to be released and all. But we don't go by emotions like that, Dave. I mean, it's a war, and it was brought onto Israel. And you're setting up now for even another war in the West Bank by seeding it with these thousands and thousands of Hamas fighters. It's like you took them from Gaza and just dropped them over into the West Bank and said, okay, boys. All right. Anything else on that, Dave?
Well, John, with that situation that's being created, it will not be hard for them to take more hostages.
Right.
Because the world calls them settlements, but there's a lot of Jewish people settling, occupying the West Bank. They're in the West Bank. And their towns are directly, a lot of Jewish people are traveling through the roads, passing through sections that are filled up with Palestinians. It's just creating a very bad situation.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, Dave. They're setting this up so that Hamas can take more hostages outside of Hamas, outside of Gaza. All right, now I've got really good news here. And this has to do about Trump's Secretary of Defense, who has just been appointed now. He passed, he cleared the Senate. And it's Pete Hegseth, so kind of an odd name. But anyways, it's a report from him, a video of him back in 2018. And I don't think it's too long. I'm going to read it first because it's so interesting. President-elect Donald Trump, hang on here, I'll bring it over. President-elect Donald Trump, a nominee for Secretary of Defense, Pete Hegseth, suggested that a temple could be rebuilt on the Temple Mount in a resurfaced speech he gave in 2018 at a conference in Jerusalem. Now, is that music to your ears, Dave?
Very interesting, John, and directly what we've been waiting for a long, long time.
Right. Now, I want to stop and think on this. Dave, he could have appointed, dozens and dozens of others. And I don't know anything about Hegseth, really. I've heard commentary that he's like sharp guy. He's got a captain background. I think he was a captain, a colonel. Everything is good about him. Trump appointed him. Okay. But all of a sudden, out of everybody he could have appointed, this guy here is behind Israel and Jerusalem to the point where he wants the Jews to rebuild the temple. Now, who else is out there like that, Dave, at that level? There may be, I don't know, one or two others, but of all the people he picks, look at the background on this guy, Dave. So we've watched the entire left here in America, well, the political left I'm talking about, try and crush Trump. Every angle you could think of. Even, Dave, have you heard anything about the assassin there in Butler, Pennsylvania, that Nick Trump's here? Have you heard anything about him from the FBI?
Not one thing, John.
Do you know anything about his friends, acquaintances, who his contacts are overseas, because he had five accounts and they were cryptic and they were over? Do you know anything about that thing?
Nothing on the news, not one word.
Do you know anything about his contacts here in America? What group? He had to be in contact with people.
Yeah. No, nothing. Zero.
Nothing. Zero. And the investigation that left it the perfect perch there for the assassin to lay on with a beautiful, unrestricted 150-yard shot right at the president's side of his head. Anything about the Secret Service investigation? Who got fired from that? Do we know of anybody that got fired, Dave?
Well, the only thing we know is the gentleman that did do that is dead.
Right.
That's about it.
Exactly.
And they found that it was outrageous that they allowed it to happen. That's it.
Yeah, they made a lot of noise about it. But the chain of command that was responsible for overseeing the defense, I'm going to say, of the president in that area, did any of them get fired? Did any
of them? Not that I know of.
I know. From what I understand, that the woman that was in charge of this, she went on to be in charge of other Secret Service events. Not with Trump, but with others. Like nothing happened. It's amazing, Dave. Amazing. So all of that showed to me that God had his hand on Trump. He was going to win the election, and that he had a reason. God has a reason to put Trump in power. Right, Dave?
He's having mercy on America, John.
Okay. So it's like you could say that I think the Justice Department is the highest cabinet position, except in a time of war. But then you've got the Defense Department would be second to the Justice Department. So you've got this guy here, Hegseth, who is arguably the top in the president's cabinet. He comes out and says, it's time for the Jews to rebuild the temple. I mean, so Trump appointed him there. And I've been saying that God has something to do with Trump and Israel, at least for sure. This is mind-boggling. I just found this out today. All right, now let's go on in this. There is no reason why the miracle of the reestablishment of the temple on the Temple Mount is not possible, Hegseth said. I don't know how it would happen. You don't know how it would happen, but I know it could happen, he said. Hegseth also appeared to endorse annexing Israeli settlements. Well, there's a bonus to it, Dave. There's a bonus. What do you think?
Exactly, John. Maybe we don't know. Maybe he read your book. Maybe he read the book, The Late Great Planet Earth.
Yeah.
He may be a premillennial dispensational eschatologist.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope it's not fatal, Dave.
Yeah.
Okay. An effort backers of the effort, often described as applying Israeli sovereignty to Judea and Samaria, using the biblical names for the West Bank. A step in that progress, a step in every process, a recognition that facts and activities on the ground truly matter, he said. That's why going and visiting Judea and Samaria and understanding that sovereignty, the very sovereignty of Israel's soil, Israel's cities, locations is a critical next step to showing the world that this is the land for Jews and the land of Israel, Hegseth added. He also rejected the two-state solution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. saying that if you walk the ground today, you understand that there is no such as the outcome of a two-state solution. There is only one state. So he's got the president's ear, and so does Rubio, and so does Mike Huckabee, who is the ambassador, and Rubio is the Secretary of State. And Dave, the good thing, all of these will be telling Trump, no two states, no two states, no two states. If he's being pressured into creating a Palestinian state, putting pressure on Israel, you got Hegseth here and on the others. So that's I'm happy with that, Dave. It's very good that he has people like Hegseth that are his advisors. Yeah, Dave.
Yeah, well, also Mike Huckabee. I think he's a former governor, but
of Arkansas.
He is 100. I'm sorry.
He's the former governor of Arkansas.
Arkansas, right? And he's very biblically knowledgeable. Okay, he understands exactly what you just said. You can't divide the nation of Israel, and he's a Zionist, just like us.
Yes. Yeah, so look who the president has surrounding him there. All right, this here is a speech by Hegseth. Let's listen to it.
A couple of folks had to leave, but I definitely want to thank Minister Naftali Bennett for being here, the Deputy Defense Minister who spoke, the Deputy Mayor of Jerusalem. Thank you, sir, for being here. Members of the Knesset, none of us would be here without Dr. Joe Frager. Please, a round of applause for a great friend, a great patriot of both America and Israel. The reason I'm here, the reason I have learned so much about Israel. Thank you very much, sir. And I also would be remiss if I did not thank Jennifer for being here. The smartest, most talented, wonderful woman I have ever met, my best friend, my partner. Thank you for being here so much with me. So I get the chance to talk to a lot of American audiences. In the next couple of weeks, I'll be talking to Republicans in Alabama, in Michigan, in Washington State, in Minnesota, in different states across America. And I always talk about three things in each speech, three things that Americans need to remember. One, that history is not over, that the trajectory of life continues. That what we have in America, as the second point, is not inevitable. A lot of Americans assume that because America is the richest and most powerful and bountiful country in the world, that will just perpetuate itself. And we live comfortably with two oceans on our east and our west, and Canada and Mexico on our north and our south, and we sometimes get very complacent in the understanding that America will always be the world's superpower, capable of wielding our influence economically, politically, or diplomatically as we see fit. This room understands that history is not over and that nothing is inevitable in this world. More than anything else, standing in this hotel, in this very city, in this very country, it's palatable, that sense. It's part of that sense of purpose that draws me back to this country and to the bond, the eternal bond that we share between our two nations. The third thing, after history is not over and America is not inevitable, is that if the 21st century, the century we are in, is not a century led by Americans and free peoples, Americans, Israelis, and others, then this century will not be a free century. The 20th century was not I don't have to tell this room what the world went through in the 20th century to be where we are today. Wars, Holocausts, wars for independence that put us in this very room today. If the 21st century is not led bravely by free men and free women, principally America, Israel, and our limited number of partners in this world, then the 21st century could very well be dark. History is not over. America is not inevitable. And while Israel and the Jewish people may live eternally, the status of this state is by no means inevitable, as everyone in this room knows. So it is on us as free people to make sure that we guard it at every turn and fight to keep the 21st century a free century. So I'm here to say a bit on behalf of America, and I don't purport to speak on behalf of my country or all Americans at all, that we are very proud that America is back on the world stage. You know, the minister talked about the head of the octopus, talked about Iran, and the...
I thought it was just going to be more about what I shared. It may be in this. I don't know what year it is. But, Dave, I think it's too long to continue. Dave?
Yeah, no problem, John.
Yeah, let me see if I have a date for this. I think this is the one in 2018, but let me see here. This might be it here.
All responsibility right, in coming here and learning from Joe and from others about the truth on the ground, and then going back to America and fighting the fake news about the Arab-Israeli conflict, the Arab-Israeli peace process, the so-called two-state solution that is still drips off the lips of the intelligentsia in America today, when if you walk the ground today, you understand there is no such thing as the outcome of a two-state solution. There is one state. And what I love about this group is the eternal optimism in the belief of the Jewish people, of the scripture, of this land, and the understanding that for years, if not this year in Jerusalem, then next year in Jerusalem, but we are here in Jerusalem. And today, Jennifer and I and others had a chance to go see the Western Wall of the Temple Mount, the Western Wall tunnels, so much of the Old City. And as you stand there, you can't help but behold the miracle before you. And it got me thinking about another miracle that I hope all of you don't see too far away. Because 1917 was a miracle. 1948 was a miracle. 1967 was a miracle. 2017, the declaration of Jerusalem as the capital, was a miracle. And there's no reason why the miracle of the reestablishment of the temple on the Temple Mount is not possible. Know how it would happen. You don't know how it would happen, but I know that it could happen. That's all I know. And a step in that process, a step in every process, is the recognition that facts and activities on the ground truly matter. And that's why going and visiting Judea and Samaria, understanding that sovereignty, the very sovereignty of Israeli soil, Israeli cities, locations, is a critical next step to showing the world that this is the land for Jews and the land of Israel. And I believe, as was mentioned, he said you need to, what was mentioned is you need to buy the ticket. Don't just wish for 40 years to win the lottery, buy the ticket. I would submit to you, in light of the support you have in Washington, D.C., the support you have amongst patriotic Americans, amongst evangelical Christians, amongst believers, amongst Republicans, even amongst some Democrats who can barely say it anymore in Washington, buy the ticket, take your action, do what needs to be done here in Israel, because I truly believe this is a moment where America will have your back. You have Donald Trump in the White House. You have Mike Pence as vice president. You have Nikki Haley at the UN. You have true believers in Israel and America that have your back. So thank you for this honor for this evening, Dr. Joe Frager, everyone here. God bless you, and God bless the state of Israel. Thank you.
Okay. I think that was really good, Dave, to get a feeling for him.
He's on the same page as us.
Yes. Yeah.
And also Mike Huckabee. So, you just said, President Trump is surrounded with people that are, I would call them Zionists. Biblical Zionist.
Yes. I mean, real Zionist. That guy was, he was So, I mean, I heard him speak really for the first time. I know he was on, they talked about him being on Fox News. I don't remember him at all. But I heard him speak. He's very articulate, clear, had his facts together. So he's going to be a great spokesman for the Department of Defense. It remains to be seen. If God wants him in there, God wants him in there. So I believe he's going to be the Lord's man for the Department of Defense, because there may be a big battle coming up, Dave, where Israel might need America to have its back. And he's the guy, him and Trump are the guy, just the two in there to do it, Dave.
John, we know it's on the agenda, Israel's conflict with Iran, that Israel is going to take out Iran's nuclear facilities, and you couldn't have a better guy in there with what you just pointed out.
Yeah, so I want everybody to see him. I wanted to see him for the first time. That's the first time I watched that video. I had, read the article, so I'm very, very happy. So it's like God has put this guy here who's telling the Jews, go build your temple. That's amazing. And he's head of the Defense Department. Then you got Donald Trump there, and you got Huckabee, the ambassador, and you got Rubio, who was also very, very strong. Huckabee is probably as strong as this guy, Hegseth. But looks good, Dave, going into this. Looks really good.
Amen.
All right. Let's see a couple other articles here. Israel may act against Iran in upcoming months. That's going to be done before a couple months. Trump calls for Jordan, Egypt to take more Palestinian refugees, clean out Gaza. They don't want them, Dave. Certainly Jordan doesn't want them, for sure. So Trump would be nice if Iran issues could be fixed without Israel strikes on military facilities. That's kind of a hint to Iran. We want it fixed before Israel attacks you. Trump signs executive order calling for Houthis to be reestablished as a terror group. Now, Dave, I'm going to ask you, this might sound like it's a joke. It's not. I didn't follow the Houthis till this thing all blew up, really. But they were on a terror group. Someone took them off the terror group, which was probably Biden. And they're attacking the shipping in the, Gulf of Aden, they call it, and then the Red Sea. How many ships have they sunk, Dave? 20? 30?
Quite a few.
Right? And all of a sudden, Trump is back in power, and he's designated them as a terrorist group. Why weren't they designated before this, Dave? Who, this shows you how the those that are in control through Biden, I don't know who was really in control. Biden wasn't able. But what does it take for them to designate someone as a terrorist group? 50 ships sinking U.S. carrier? I mean, this is incredible that they're not designated as a terrorist group, firing all these missiles at Israel and drones and all of this. I just assumed that they were a terrorist group. It didn't enter my mind they weren't. Yeah, Dave?
Yeah, John, I didn't see or hear of any United Nations resolutions, calling the Houthis a terrorist organization. And when you think about it, they were affecting global shipping, increasing insurance rates.
Yes.
The ships were going around, the tip of Africa.
Yes.
And Egypt specifically was losing lots of money from the revenue of people passing through the Suez Canal. So it's interesting. The United Nations is very, very concerned about Israel's relationship with the Palestinians, but they don't say anything about the Houthis disrupting the global economy. Very strange.
Right. Right, Dave. It's like this thing is a joke. Trump's going to redesignate him as a terrorist group. What do you mean? When were they deregulated? How do you? They're firing, sinking ships, oil ships, and all of that in the Red Sea and the Gulf of Aden, and that's not enough to designate them as a terrorist group. What is this? Alice in Wonderland? Amazing, amazing. UN article. UN urges diplomacy as Iran hits nuclear gas pedal. So here we go, Dave. Iran, it's pedal to the metal to build a nuclear weapon, and UN urges diplomacy with Iran. What do you think, Dave?
Very sad, John. And the only solution is Israel is going to have to attack these nuclear facilities because Iran, their goal is not changed.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I think we're about finished, Dave, for now. And Brother Greg is here. But Dave, give us an update.
Sure. John, I was going to suggest some homework for the people listening to the show. I was going to suggest that they listen to the Book of Revelation. You Google the Book of Revelation, King James Version. It's a little over an hour long. You don't have to listen to it all at once, but your friends and relatives, coworkers, if they're not saved, they're going to be thinking about you because you'll be gone for 7 years. That's if they make it through the 7 years. Now, everybody was concerned, and it's obvious, and it's very, very sad what happened to California. That's a prosperous Sunday lawn picnic compared to what's coming up in the Book of Revelation. So the suggestion is this. Get a copy of John's book, As America's Done to Israel. You'll notice on the website that it was given to Benjamin Netanyahu. So it's an incredible book. And then you could also get the book called The Late Great Planet Earth, written 54 years ago. Now, while you're reading the book, The Late Great Planet Earth, written 54 years ago, best-selling book of the decade, you'll see Iran and its proxies publicly threatening to destroy Israel. An entire chapter on the book on Russia getting nasty, allied with Iran in an adversary relationship with Israel. Big problems in Syria. A global unsolvable problem over Jerusalem, the West Bank, and the Temple Mount. A coming Mideast peace treaty. A global cashless society. Pandemics. But the entire planet will be ganging up in Israel. So read the book and then get some copies or suggest that your friends read it. And then they'll spend quite a few hours studying Bible prophecy. And that's why prophecy is so powerful, because they'll realize what you talked to them about was predicted a long time ago, and it's happening as we speak. So that would be a helpful suggestion. Now, talking about the shipping department, I'll be very blunt about it, John. I'm very sad. There's no contributions coming in for shipping. Basically, we have a shipping department, but there's no shipping. Just on Saturday, I got 19 requests from Kenya begging for materials, John. And in the past, we were sending literally a few thousand pieces every month. And now it's not much happening, John. So that's all. We need help. And that's the story. So is Brother Greg there?
Yes.
Yeah, hold on.
Hello, Brother Greg.
Hold on, Dave. Dave.
Sure.
Anybody wants to contact you? daystarwindows1@optimum.net. How's that?
Yep, that's the email, John.
All right. And I'm showing, I'm posting up here, The Last Trumpet, The Last Shofar, Russia Invades Mideast, World Faces Economic Collapse. Million missing. Where are they? Well, I know where they are, Dave. They're at the Marriage Supper of the Lamb.
Amen, John. Amen.
So all you got to do is call reservations at New Jerusalem.
There we go.
You got to make reservations to be there, Dave.
Amen.
Right?
That's it. That's it.
Now, how many
all
times?
Right, so I want to thank him. Yeah,
Dave, okay. How many times have you called me and I said reservations, New Jerusalem?
Quite often, John. And occasionally you come up with other Incredibly funny comments. Incredibly. You're quite a comedian, John.
Oh, thank you. I know your wife thinks so. I can hear her laughing in the background, Dave.
Right. She's just doing that to make you feel good, John.
And I told you the last time you called in, I told you I was taking, what was it, the American Express cards now for the New Jerusalem?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Dave.
Thank you for everybody for listening, and I'll talk to you guys during the week. God bless.
Okay. All right. God bless.
Okay, Dave.
All right, Greg. It's, when I, you know, when he calls in, I can see it. It's his name. So I always think of something for the spur of the moment to make him laugh. Today, I his wife could hear what was going on, and she was hysterically laughing. So, hey, Greg, how was your wife doing?
She's improving. We'll put it that way, and looking for the once she's all healed up and everything, it should be really easy. Just like your wife, you know, when she got the almost like a mirror image of what went on.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, Greg, I'm glad she's doing better. And I have my brochure page up for everybody to see. And what I right in the middle of it is the final battle over Jerusalem and the second coming of Jesus Christ, the brochure. So you can download it. All these brochures you can download. And today, Greg, I was talking to Pastor Jamil, and we have a huge event forming in Pakistan for pastors. They're holding it at a special location. All sorts of good things are going on. And they, one of the things they want me to preach on is the final battle over Jerusalem. They want to hear the prophecy about it. Isn't that neat?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah.
I want everybody to see it. You can download it there. It's in PDF form. You can download it, or you can contact me, and I can. I just sent out a small amount yesterday. I sent 25 out, and my email is right here, mct911@aol.com. So you can email me with your name and address, and I can I'll send them out to you. And then the brokenhearted one is right here. That's in 45 languages, and that's a PDF.
Wow. So
you can print it out. And next to it is For God So Loved the World. But the only ones that are really people really responded to was the Broken Heart and the Final Battle over Jerusalem. And then if you follow down here, and these are the handouts that I have, the prayer covenant and the timeline between the great outpourings of the Holy Spirit. That's this one. Here, I'll show it to you right here. This is the summary of the great awakenings in America, the timeline between years between the great outpourings of the Holy Spirit. So I rounded the years off. So the first gap is 50 years, then 60 years. You can see the years there, 60 years. 50 years, 60 years. Actually, I got to change this to 25. I have it 24. That's 57 years now. So we are right at the point where God, historically, since we've been, before we've been a nation, has been sending great outpourings of the Holy Spirit. And that exhorts us, Brother Greg. If God's done this through our history, why won't he do it now?
Yeah, definitely.
I'm
looking forward to it.
Yeah, we just need to cry out in prayer to him. And then this here is the Cry Unto the Lord Prayer Covenant, the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit for America. And this here, it's for prayer, for people to pray along. Just showing you some things here, folks. And then if you follow past the handouts, it's printable. printable brochures by language. So, Greg, I'm trying to think. I want you to choose a language.
Spanish.
Okay, I got it in Spanish. Here we go. Now, these are all the brochures in Spanish. There's the Jerusalem brochure, the Brokenhearted brochure, John 3:16 brochure, the Blessed Hope brochure, 666 surveillance system brochure, and the Russia Invades the Middle East brochure. So there you go.
Amen.
And
yeah, that's
let's take an odd one here. Mandarin. There we go. Mandarin. This Mandarin, it's in Chinese. And of course, it's here is the Broken Heart. And this is John 3:16. God so loved the world.
Wow. Huh.
Yeah. Okay, folks. I want you to see everything that's available. Oh, and there is a video attached to Who is Israel's Messiah? And it's actually the brochure in audio and video. It's very, very well done. And this here is a shadow on the Western Wall. It's an Orthodox Jew, and it's a shadow on the Western Wall. So I thought that was like really it could. It would, who was Israel's Messiah? And there's a shadow on the Western Wall. Who is that? You know what I mean, Greg?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we might find out soon.
Well, Israel's got to go through some trials, Dave, you know, to see that Jesus is their Messiah. There's still a ways off of them. They will. All Israel shall be saved. Here's the police brochure. So great faith. All right. Let's get back to... Let me see where we were here. Okay. Well, now, Greg, as I'm following the news out here, it's like a feeding frenzy. it's like Christmas, New Year's, 4th of July, and my birthday every day. I mean, so much good stuff is going on, Brother Greg. It's incredible. It's just absolutely incredible. Now, he cleaned out the federal government of that DEI nonsense. So where's the article, the headline on it? Here it is. I'll bring this up. Okay, here it is. Now, Greg, Trump has fired hundreds of bureaucrats involved with DEI.
Yeah. Right.
How much do you think was slashed in contracts by closing all this nonsense, this DEI nonsense down?
I don't even know what it is, really. I mean, DEI has something to do with God, I guess.
No.
No?
No, it's all that America is a terribly racist country and the white people are bigots and all of this. It's very racial, very racial. It's pitting us against each other. So, 395 government bureaucrats have been placed on leave, and it's saving the government. You ready for this? $420 million. Greg, $420 million. Now, when you look at the debt, it doesn't even register on the Richter scale. But hey, $420 million of nonsense they're spending on teaching Americans the whites are all racist and that we're born racist and all this stuff. Diverse something, I forget what it's called. Let me see if it says it here. Diversity, equity, and inclusion. It's ending in all federal agencies immediately. Wow, that's. He's been battle-hardened, Greg. Trump has been battle-hardened. And he's gone through all of that, including an assassin's bullet. So he's like, he's not taking any nonsense. He's ready to go. He knows what happened his first term, and he knows what happened the 4 years in between, all the cases against him and all the slander against him, and the Secret Service raided his home, and all the lies by this special counsel who was illegal. The special counsel was illegal. Amazing. He wasn't he had to be approved by Congress, according to the Constitution. And they didn't do that. They just rammed him in. The crazy case in New York and all. So here he is. He's like not taking any prisoners, Greg. We're firing all of them right now. This was he signed this like on Monday or Tuesday, the latest, that you're all fired by Friday. Get out of town. You're out. You're off the federal payroll. I'm firing all of you. Get out. Amazing, Greg. When do you ever hear of action like that by the federal government? They have to form a committee about it, and the committee meets for 6 months, and then they got to file a report. The report takes 2 months to write, and then they have to vote on it in a committee, and then vote on it by the House, and the Senate's got to approve it. I mean, it takes like a year before you get any action done. And what did he say? Get out. I don't blame him. He should have gave him no time. Get out, quitting time today. All of you, out. $420 million. Wow. Wow. It's a plague on us, DEI. Okay, let's see.
How about Pacific Palisades?
The Palisades?
Yeah.
I have a video of him. Oh, I mean, just reaming out these gutless Democrat politicians there. Let me see if I can get it. Oh, before we get to that, Greg, Trump administration locates, now listen to this, 80,000 of over 320,000 missing migrant children.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was just reading that before the show.
80,000, Greg. Now, I know there's 320. 80,000 children. That's incredible.
And then you got people like Biden that just – for years, he's been doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Like with the children and with the – I mean, he's like a devil.
Yes. And yes. Absolutely. 100% agreement with you. Let me read the article. An investigation by Muckraker exposes the Biden-Harris administration's trafficking of children, humans and children, and the pathway – of the hundreds of thousands of children that are trafficked into the United States with federal government's help. Greg, we're going to pray when this is over. Let me read this first.
Yeah, we definitely are.
Yeah. We discovered that while the federal government custody, some children asked to be sent back to their home country, but are instead taken away in the middle of the night and sent to sponsors who they do not know. It is also well documented that this program has placed children in the hands of criminal organizations such as MS-13, as well as labor and sex trafficking rings, says Muckraker CEO Anthony Rubin. Lord, we repent for you for what the Biden administration did, Lord. And who knows how many innocent children were, everything up to including being murdered, Lord, by these, they're not even human, these traffickers, Lord. And I pray that everyone involved in it, including, Lord, especially religious organizations, apparently the Catholic Church was deep involved in it. The Lutherans were deep involved, and I don't know whoever else, but there could be more. all these organizations that were involved in this, if they were trafficking children, we want them all destroyed, Lord. Use it as RICO, go after their money, after their buildings, after everything. I pray that they would be destroyed off the face of the earth, Lord. Lord, I'm asking that you vindicate these children. Any of them that were murdered, I'm asking that you vindicate their shed blood, Lord, by the monsters that did this. I pray that all of these children, all of them, that they'll be tracked down by the federal government. Now, the good federal government, rescued out of this, Lord. And Lord, if it's thousands involved, that every single one of them is going to go to jail over this. Whoever's involved, federal agencies, Lord, that guy Mayorkas, Bush, all of them, Lord, who was involved in trafficking these children. We want justice for them now. And Lord, I'm praying that their hearts are all broken, Lord. They've been in terror and fear and everything else that goes with being trafficked. I'm praying, Lord, for their salvation. I'm praying, Lord, that you will get them the gospel and that these children will come to you, Lord, and have their hearts healed. In Jesus' name I ask, amen, amen, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Greg, if you want to pray, Greg, please go ahead.
Lord, we take these children before you, and we knew from the very beginning, just by sight, what they were doing, because they've all those people, their pedophiles files, they're wicked, disgusting. I can't even hardly just think about what they have done to these children. And Lord, please make a move on them. Make it so that they're not, that it doesn't come back to them and haunt them all these years, Lord. And whatever happens, becomes a new creature, that they would become born again Christians, and that they would turn around and just somehow be pushed right into a perfect environment where they can work on that to get rid of the wickedness that is in their hearts and minds and souls, Lord, because it is so ugly and wicked that it's beyond reproof. In Jesus' name, Lord, please make a move for them. Every one of them, Lord, you know every one of them from the beginning to the end, and we receive it and we believe it, and we are looking forward to seeing them in heaven, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Greg. Thank you. Thank you. Folks, there's a lot of good stuff to share, and there's a lot of bad stuff. Here's another bad one. Disgraceful. Senate Democrats block GOP's Born Alive bill to protect babies that survive abortions. Greg, this is like babies that are alive that need to be treated, need a law to protect them. And what happens is, for a law to pass, if the Democrats object it, you have to have 60 votes. So the Republicans have 53. Hopefully 53. Let's say they have 53 Republican senators. They need 7 more. It's called cloture. That's what it's called. So they couldn't get 7 Democrats to vote for this. Of all the senators, they couldn't get 7. So the law couldn't pass. So the Democrats actually have voted for the murder of babies that are born alive from an abortion day. Greg, these are people are monsters, Greg. They are
beyond the pale.
That goes along with trafficking the children. They hate children. Yep. These people, they are monsters. Wow,
the same thing happened with David Dalyden back years ago. Remember him? And that was Harris, and she was the guy that she was actually, well, I hate to say the words, but playing around with that other guy that was the head of, and so then they put him in jail for a while. And I was glad to see just the other day that he's out of jail now.
Oh, well, that's another thing, Greg. The January 6ers were released, and 23 pro-life people. One of them, one of the women, was 93 years old and medical issues, and they sentenced her for 3 years in jail. It was like a life, they've given her a death sentence. She's free.
Well, that was because she was witnessing at the
abortion center.
Yeah, just like everybody's done it at the time, or you know, and you've done it a lot, so you can exactly what they're dealing with.
Well, yeah, that's why I won that case against the city of York and the police. You all know that case about my daughter. At
oh, least. Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny. You can't make that up. You can't. That is too funny. All right, another wonderful victory. State Department blocks Pride BLM flags from embassies, outposts with one flag policy. So only – now, this is radical again, Greg. Only the United States flag – can hang from the embassies, outposts, just the American flag. What's this world coming to, Greg?
Beyond the pale. I mean, this is crazy.
Okay, let me see if this is the one that's got a video on it and how long it is. It's about Trump in California. I will, I think... Because there's an announcer speaking, but I can fast forward it to just hearing Trump.
President Trump took a trip to tour the devastation of the Pacific Palisades in California, and he came out swinging against woke Democrats. Trump calls out Democrat Mayor Karen Bass on live TV over disgraceful delays in wildfire recovery. President Donald Trump called out Mayor Karen Bass for the city's sluggish response in allowing evacuated residents to return and rebuild their homes after the devastating wildfires. Trump's visit to Los Angeles came shortly after expectations.
And the number one thing that we are going to do immediately, and you will see this happen, is to clear out the debris. And you know, we're concerned right now over the weekend because of the potential rain, but we are going to move as fast as we can. But we want you to be safe, and we want you to be back in your homes immediately.
But the people are willing to clean out their own debris. It doesn't cost a lot.
Yes, and they can.
You should let them do it, because by the time you hire contractors, it's going to be 2 years.
If a family...
The people are willing to get a dumpster and do it themselves and clean it out.
And they can't.
There's not that much left. It's all incinerated.
That's right.
And, you know, it's just going to take a long time if you do. You can do some of it, but a lot of these people, I know that guy right there that's talking. I know my people. You'll be on that thing tonight, throwing the stuff away, and your site will be, it'll look perfect within 24 hours. And that's what he wants to do. He doesn't want to wait around for 7 months till the city hires some demolition contract. That's
going to
charge him $25,000 to do his lot.
Yeah.
I think you have to, you have emergency powers just like I do, and I'm exercising my emergency powers. You have to exercise them also.
I did exercise them.
Because you have a very powerful emergency power, and you can do everything within 24 hours.
Yes. And if individuals want to clear out their property, they can. Yes, but you know that you will be able to go back soon.
Mr. President.
We think within a week.
That's a long time, a week. I'll be honest. To me, everyone's standing in front of their house. They want to go to work, and they're not allowed to do it.
And the most important thing is for people to be safe.
They're safe. They're safe. You know what? They're not safe. They're not safe now. They're going to be much safer. A week is actually a long time, the way I look at it. I watched hundreds of people standing in front of their lots, and they're not allowed to go in. It's all burned. It's gone. It's done. Nothing's going to happen to it. It's not going to burn anymore. There's nothing to burn. There's almost nothing to burn. And they want to go in. The people are all over the place. They're standing. And I say, Warren, you're going in. We're trying to get a permit. And the permit's going to take them. Everybody said 18 months. You said 18 months. You said 18 months.
That was last night.
And that was last night.
On
that. We can't even see our homes right now. We are blocked from entering our streets. Right. We can't even. This is our first time we saw our house. It was yesterday.
Doesn't it feel great to have a president again speaking for the people, we the people, on behalf
of. Mitigated from happening again. So you're going to see us proposing both of those.
Like water. Little things like water, you know, the party of common sense. See, we're the party of common sense. You're not, in all fairness.
Yes, sir.
We like water to put out fires. It's really quite efficient. All right.
We are so back.
Do you know, first, we have to take care of, to make sure that there's not the getting rid of the hazardous waste, cleaning things up so that people can start right away. And just like you said, if somebody had their house was destroyed and they're going to rebuild essentially the same, maybe a little bit longer, a little bit higher, they really shouldn't have to go through much of a process. So I want you to know that we are expediting that. We absolutely need your help. We need the federal help.
You got it. I told you, you will have no permit problem. There will be zero delay. And as far as I'm concerned, you already have the permits.
And the resources.
I am more worried because I met at least 8 groups of homeowners. And, I'm much more worried about the fact that they said it's 18 months exactly. And they were devastated. They want to start now. They want to start removing things. They're not allowed to do it now. And you mentioned hazardous waste. Well, the hazardous waste. What's hazardous waste? I mean, you're going to have to define that. We're going to go through a whole series of questions on determining what's hazardous.
I think
you have to allow the people to go on their site and start the process tonight.
And we will.
Okay, good.
You can come back and check.
This is what America voted for. A president that takes no BS. Let's just be honest here. And in this situation where people have died, thousands of people have lost their homes, and you had the woke mayor in Africa while it was all going down. Now she.
There was a confrontation in this between the president and a congressman there. You heard him talk a little. And I don't know where it is here. And I don't really want to spend too much more time on this. But Trump, devastated him. And he said the insurance companies pulled out of California 6 months ago. And the congressman said, well, I don't know about that. So Trump said they pulled out because there's no water in the fire hydrants and they're not going to issue fire insurance to the city there where there's no water to fight the fires. So they canceled the insurance of all those people in that area. Why did you have no water in the fire hydrants? Guy, I don't know. I this is all new. I never heard of it before. So, yeah, this is how can you be that stupid, Greg, to not have water? This is the season, Brother Greg. They know that this time of the year, and also in like late September, October, the winds come down out of the desert and they blow opposite. Usually it goes west to east, but this time of the year they go east to west. They come down at 100 miles an hour sometimes. The ground is all tinder, you know, and they won't allow the to be cleaned because of green rulings. So you have all of this tinder brush and stuff. Sometimes it's like 10 feet high. And once a fire starts, you saw the result of it. But they didn't have water. They have big reservoirs there that are supposed to be filled up so the fire department draws water. Not a drop in it. Not a drop. This had to be a setup. They knew these winds were coming and didn't fill. And then they fired, Brother Greg, all of the mechanics that work on the fire trucks. They have a big fleet of trucks.
Right.
So they have 100 trucks that don't work, and they fired all the mechanics, so they can't be fixed because there's no money in the budget to fix them. So they have 100 trucks that can't fight the fires. This is either
– Gavin Newsom puts the schmelt, a little tiny 2.5-inch fish instead of using the water for that. He just lets it go right out into the ocean.
Yes. Yeah. So this is a setup to burn like Los Angeles, but it's in other areas too. It's to burn these cities down. You can't be this stupid. You can't be. No one is this stupid. It has to be done on purpose. It has to be.
Yeah.
So Trump is, you heard him there, how aggressive he was. And he was standing with the people. And it goes on in that where he takes that congressman head on. Amazing, amazing to watch all this. Incredibly amazing.
I watched every bit of it. And what you're saying is absolute truth.
Wow. This is just in. 80.7 million people watched Trump's inauguration.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a record. Incredible record. All right, here's another heading. Florida Democrat Party official and president of LGBTQ group arrested on child porn charges after sending child porn to undercover officer. And that child stuff is really
filthy.
The children need to be protected.
Evil, satanic, unbelievable. I mean, that kind of stuff. Wow. I mean, good grief.
All right. There's a big push. Oh, no. And Trump is going to release all the files on the John Kennedy, President Kennedy's assassination, Robert Kennedy, and Martin Luther King. And I can't wait for that, Greg. That is like, wow. I'm sure they're going to redact a whole bunch out of it, and he'll force them to maybe he can declassify it. The president can declassify it and tell them it has to be clean. Release it clean. He has the authority to do that. The president of the United States can declassify any document anywhere at any time, any place. So now the Republicans want Trump to release the Epstein files. This is like, wow, you go, Greg, like I said, it's like Christmas. It's like every day is like Christmas.
Yeah. Yep. And you know, when you walk in, I've never been in that building, but when you walk in, guess who's on the wall underneath the staircase?
What building?
Picture of Bill Clinton.
Where, Greg?
What's that?
Would you talk? What building? I didn't know what building you were talking about.
Epstein's building that he had.
Oh, yeah, but he had a big picture of Clinton dressed in a dress with high heels on. Did you see that? Yeah, Bill Clinton had a red dress with red high heels on. That was hanging up. They showed you that. All right.
Oh, yeah.
So we want Epstein's files released. Come on. Come on, President Trump. Come on. Come on. Let's see some of the other. Oh, this thing about Greenland. I'm learning more and more about Greenland. I did post on it. Now, here's the thing, folks, what's happening in Greenland. There are waterways there that are opening up. And like during the summer, they have these real power. When I say they, it's the Russians and the Russians and the Chinese. They have these real powerful ice-breaking ships, and they can open the channels up. So now Russian and Chinese warships can come right down through the Arctic and right down through Canada, through down to America. So Greenland used to block that because it was iced. But now it's open, so Russian warships and Chinese warships can come right down the coast of Canada.
Wow.
And those island, that island there, Greenland, and it's huge. And on a map, I know it looks huge, but the further north it goes, the bigger the distortion. But like Greenland's about twice the size of Texas, I think. Huh. Something like that, twice the size of Texas. But it's loaded with oil and other minerals. And apparently the people of Greenland are really interested in joining America. They want away from Denmark. And they, because of a lot of reasons, trade is a big one. And Greenland would be open. There's all sorts of tour agencies, you know, the ship tours that are salivating to get to Greenland. So there's a very good chance that Greenland wants to come and be with the United States. Okay. So that's incredible. I had no idea that Russia and China have their eyes on Greenland, literally.
Wow.
So that's amazing.
Well, you can guarantee that Trump knows all about it. He was making a little, you know, in his speech, he was kind of like chastising the kid that's in charge of Canada. And
The kid. He's not in charge anymore. I don't know. He might temporarily be in charge till there's a new election. I'm not sure how it works in Canada. The kid. I like that. The kid.
Yeah.
All right. Trump at that meeting over there, Davos, he went to. Trump called out the banks. Bank of America for blocking and debanking conservatives. So they denied it, but the evidence has been produced that they did. So this is probably going to go to the Justice Department for what they've done there to the conservatives. And that would be Christians and people like that. That's the Bank of America.
Yeah, that's owned by the Catholic Church.
The Bank of America?
Yeah. It's been that way forever.
Wow, I didn't know that.
My sister is a bank examiner, and she was going around to all these places, and I got a lot of stuff from her, and she's semi-retired, but she's... done a lot over the years. She's one of the main ones.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know. Thank you for telling me that, Greg. I didn't know that. All right. Senator Lindsey Graham calls Trump's J6 pardons a mistake, compares J6ers to BLM rioters and people burning down Minneapolis. Well, Greg, how many people are BLM rioters and those that burned down Minneapolis, how many of them were arrested, convicted, and went to jail, Greg? It was like none.
Probably
none.
None of them.
Harris was involved in raising up a lot of money to bail out the rioters, remember?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they would charge them with felonies, and then they would plead guilty to a misdemeanor and then dismiss. You know, I don't think any of them went to jail. So, yeah, Mr. Lindsey Graham, the 76ers, give them the same treatment as the BLO riot. He was too stupid to make that analogy. Now, this is a good one, that Trump signed an executive order for the deportation of pro-terror foreign students. So those students that are there after the Jews, like at Columbia College and these Ivy League colleges, and they're talking about Intifada and all, they're going to be immediately deported right out of the country.
Oh, yeah. Good.
This is like, it goes on every day. All this stuff he's doing, it's like, wow. Wow. It's incredible. The nonstop, every day, something great he's doing. And not only one thing, all sorts of things he's doing. I did tell you about the psychologist that they've got a group of two to help the poor, the distressed Democrats because of what Trump's doing. Oh man, Trump is sending the army to the border this is personal with me. It just came out today. Let me get it here. I want to read it to you. Here it is. Here's the headline here in Texas. Now, the county I live in is Harris County. It just came out, made headlines today. Harris County taxpayers pay millions to defend illegal aliens from deportation. It was hidden, and this was all hidden, and someone got it through the Freedom of Information Act. So, all right, last year, in 2024, the county I lived in paid $2,071,676.21 to defend illegal aliens from deportation. This just hit. I can't wait tomorrow to get on the on the telephone. And Charles, wow. I did get your second. I didn't see the first one, Charles. I did get the second text, and I want to make a call tomorrow to that bishop there in Washington, D.C. Yeah, my county paid $2 million in tax money. $2 million. Boy, you know law firms are getting fat on that one, Greg. What do you think? The law firms making all that money and giving a kickback to these politicians? Huh?
Yeah.
You know how they pay? You know how they make the kickback? They donate a lot of money to their campaign. That's one of the ways that they wash money.
Yeah. Huh.
The goal of this program is to create a system in immigration court where everyone who needs an attorney gets one, regardless of the strength of their case or the person's criminal record. These are illegal aliens.
Yeah.
The county lists six nonprofits that it partners with to provide legal defense to illegal aliens facing removal. Harris County is committed to continuing support for the Immigration Legal Services Fund, which fund nonprofits that provide legal and wraparound services to immigrants. No, to illegal aliens. They're not immigrants. This is amazing. This just broke today. Wow. Wait. The arrogance of these people. That's wow. All right. And we're starting to run out of time here, Greg. Let me get a couple more headlines. The Army, he's sending more troops to the border. They're armed. Apparently they're coming armed. And the governor of Texas was so excited about this. He was so happy what Trump is doing with the federal government to seal the border. I don't know if I mentioned this last week or not, but there's a huge religious event taking place in India, and it's 400 million people in this event, Greg. 400 million. It's all has to do with the rivers. They're going in and having ceremonies in the rivers. They wash in the rivers to have they go in the river to wash their sins away.
Huh. Kind of like baptism, huh?
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. Millions of Hindu devotees are bathing in sacred waters as the world's biggest religious gathering begins in India, India's northern state of Uttar Pradesh. Over the next 6 weeks, a staggering 400 million people are expected to attend the Maha Kumbha Mela, or the Festival of the Sacred Pitcher, on the riverbanks of the city of Prayagraj. Every 12 years, the festival carries a pretext, Maha, which means great. It's the largest gathering. It's held every 3 years in one of four cities. That's all. But it's spiritual liberation. They bathe in the holy rivers and their sins are washed away. It's from Hindu mythology and the legend of demons and gods fighting over a pitcher containing an elixir of immortality. During the fight, four drops from the pitcher fell on the earth, which are four cities which host these rotations. So there you go. 400 million people at a pagan festival in India. And also, Rubio ends transgendered non-binary passports. So you're on your passport, you're either male or female. They can. This is radical. I mean, Trump is a radical, Brother Greg. This is radical. So in a new passport, you have to declare male or female. But in the old, if you could keep your old passport, you need a new one. And then you have to declare only male. The federal government only recognizes male and female.
Good deal.
The last thing I'm going to share is Tucker Carlson. He's running with real bad people, Brother Greg.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm really sad about that that woman there, Candace Owens. She's really anti-Jew. I mean, bizarre, bizarre. She believes in Jews killing children for their blood and putting them in matzahs, and oh man, it's really bad. But anyways, he's giving these people a platform. The anti-Semitic, really hardcore. And they all support the Palestinians. So they have the same propaganda going on as the Muslims. They're exactly the same. But Tucker is giving them a platform on his show to spew this stuff. Greg, give us a word of exhortation. We're about ready to close.
Jesus said he's the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come unto the Father but by him. And he conquered death, hell, and the grave when he had people put him up on the cross, and he was perfect, he was holy, he was true, he was righteous. And if you don't know if you're saved or not, just say this simple prayer. Say, dear God, I am a sinner, and I need forgiveness. I believe that Jesus Christ shed his precious blood and died for my sin. I am willing to turn away from sin. I now invite Christ to come into my heart as my personal Savior.
That's nice, Greg, in a short time. Yeah, that's very nice. Well, folks, God bless everybody. It's exciting times we live in. What a change. Like I said earlier, right now, watching the news, it's like Christmas, New Year's, 4th of July, and your birthday, all wrapped up in one.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Yep. It's amazing. Already they've evicted, and that's not the word either. Well, about 1,500 really bad types. I mean, really bad.
Oh.
Yeah, they got 1,500 of them already. So there's thousands, there's tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of bad guys. I mean, really bad ones that they got to get out of the country right away.
Wow, this is a... How do these people like Biden and Harris and all...
Their
I mean,
judgment.
How do they get away with that?
Because they're their power. There's no one... They've got the power. There's no one that can remove them.
Wow. And that,
yeah. Yeah, that's why they can do it. So, all right. God bless everybody. Thank you for coming. Remember... if God can do this in America, it's amazing. It's like a political revival. It's like he can do it on the church and on the nation with a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I think that's coming for
Amen.
Us.
Amen.
The Lord wants President Trump in position to do something big with America. And obviously the way he's lined up those that support Israel, that's going to be one of them. And I think the other one is the gospel, a great outpouring in America, from the Atlantic to the Pacific, to the Canadian border, to the Mexican border, and then breaking out all over the world. So God bless everybody. Thank you for coming. And whatever you do, look for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we look to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the last one is, everyone that hath his hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure.
I am thinking of the rapture in that blessed home on high, when redeemed again redeemed. How we'll sing that heavenly anthem in that city in the sky, when the redeemed again redeemed. Now when the redeemed again redeemed, washed like snow and free from sin. Redemption story with our voices loud and long, when the redeemed again redeemed. Then the angels have to listen, for they cannot sing this song, when the redeemed.